Negotiated in secret among governments of the Pacific Basin, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement will obligate all to free trade. But when WikiLeaks dumped the documents for all to read, all were left to wonder, will free trade be fair trade?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 971st edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Puerto Montt who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Aaron Shore on the boards. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron, I have a question for you.
Sure, I have an answer.
Good. Will the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement now being negotiated in secret make it easier for you to find good food to eat in the future?
I would think it might make it harder.
Ooh. Well, that's an interesting answer. We'll see what we can come up with today and to back it up. Folks, the government and business leaders of the Pacific Basin have been negotiating in secret to expand a 2005 trade agreement to 12 nations of the Pacific Basin. This new trade agreement would then represent over 40% of the world's gross domestic product. Lot of money there. The stated objective of the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, include managing trade, promoting growth, and integrating economies into regional partnerships. Sounds great, right? And it did until WikiLeaks dumped the documents on TPP's secret intellectual property rights chapter. This chapter of the agreement proposes governance of internet services, civil liberties, medicines, publishing, and get this, biological patents. Now, given the secrecy with which the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is being negotiated and the amount of control over significant sectors of the economy now being handed out, some are beginning to wonder, who is negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership on our behalf? And why are they doing so in secret? Will the Trans-Pacific Partnership's free trade be fair trade? And will the TPP allow private concerns to own all of our food? Well, today we had a guest scheduled, and the guest did not show up. That makes him number two in 971 shows. But fortunately, we have the best guest of all, and that's you. So your responsibility today is to help us all figure out the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement and what it will do for our future, because as a treaty, we are being obligated to whatever their terms of this agreement will be. It will become our law. So that's what we're going to have to work with today, and we're going to have to work with it together. We're going to have to figure out what the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is and what it will obligate us to. So we're going to be working with some interesting questions. So I want you to get next to your phone, grab a cup of coffee, pen and a pencil, and help me work our way through this. The questions we're going to be working with, who is negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement on our behalf, of course? Members of government of the Pacific Basin. There's 12 countries now piling into the fray. It used to be among the smaller nations like Brunei four smaller organizations, and now the 12 biggies are going to join in as well, including the United States of America. So who is sitting in on these secret negotiations for the United States of America? There's a question. Is it just business, or are some government, or are there some business interests like Monsanto? Are they sitting in on this as well? What about NGOs, non-governmental organizations, organizations that typically watch out for you and I, are they going to be sitting in on this? Another question we're going to be working with is, why are the negotiations being held in secret? Isn't that kind of strange to you that somebody would be setting up an agreement like this, negotiating the terms, and then kind of plunking it on the table for us to suck up, as it were? Kind of like Nancy Pelosi saying, well, you have to adopt the measure in order to know what's in it. Is that where we're going to be left? Are they going to vote this thing in and then tell us what they have obligated all of us to? Is that why it's secret? Why aren't they negotiating this in public? Probably a difficult thing to negotiate things in public, of course. But still, it kind of feels like you'd like to know, don't you? Another question is, will the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement result in free trade or fair trade? And what is the difference between free trade and fair trade? I've always wondered, of course, what free trade really means. It means the unrestricted trade between different parties who have different things going. And aren't the rules being established for the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement kind of antithetical to what the notion of free means? Aren't they setting up rules and regulations? And aren't those people who are establishing those rules and regulations, you know, doing just the opposite of what free trade might be? What do you think? 831-479-1080, 800-624-2665. Also, what about the notion of fair trade? Isn't trade all about balancing weaknesses between strengths and weaknesses? Let's say, for example, that you grow apples and engineer Aaron Shore grows oranges. You, as an apple grower, hunger for oranges, and he, as an orange grower, hungers for apples. Isn't trade all about balancing those strengths and weaknesses? You trade Aaron for your apples and he gives you oranges. And that's what trade is all about, is resolving trade imbalances. So is that fair trade then, when you trade your apples for his oranges? But what about me over here? I don't grow apples and I don't grow oranges. Where am I in this trade? Is it not fair that I don't have apples and I don't have oranges? Is fair trade somehow me taking your apples and taking Aaron's oranges? Is that fair? What do you think? 831-479-1080 and 800-624-2665. And I guess, you know, when I look at this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, one of the things that I find most frightening is that the chapter on controlling patents and the notion that private concerns can own life forms, can patent various plant processes. Now, one of the things, of course, that we've always recognized is that we get a lot of our medicines and a lot of our good foods out of the wild plants and animals that roam the earth, and we have never been able to patent those things. And so they have gone kind of neglected. What if some company can change the gene, can insert a gene in a wheat, for example, and then come to own it? Well, that's kind of where we're at with the Monsanto Corporation. It can insert genes in various plants and then patent them and then own them. But what if they can do that with natural growing plants as well? Will the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement allow private companies to own life forms, to own life itself? What if they insert a gene in a kind of a person and send them out into the world and replicate? Will they then become the owners of those people? That's the question we're working with today. The phone number is 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour. You are the guest. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Our regularly scheduled guest today, who is an expert on the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership, has not showed up. So it's you and I trying to figure out what on earth we are being obligated to. They're meeting in secret. They're laying down the rules for you and I. What is it going to be? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain Radio. You are the guest. Pick up your phone and join us today. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
House plants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Hello out there. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. And guess what? You are the guest. All you have to do is pick up your phone and join us. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Subject on the table today is the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, it's called TPP for short. TPP is promising free trade. Does anybody remember the last free trade we got involved in? NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement. They promised, didn't they? They promised that we would all make lots of money and it would be a great thing for the United States. But there was this short little Texan named Ross Perot. "Now watch out," he said in his funny little voice. "It's going to create a giant sucking sound. It's going to suck the jobs right out of America." Well, everybody, of course, laughed at him. He's such a silly little guy. But gosh, look what happened. 1 million jobs just sucked right out of America. But it wasn't all that happened, because it allowed large industrial producers of corn to essentially supplant the small farmers of Mexico and Central America, put them out of business. And what did they do? They came north in a giant flood of immigration. So that was the North American Free Trade Agreement. Maybe we got some good out of it. Does anybody know if we did? Love to hear it. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. You are the guest today. Pick up your phone and join us. And right now we're going to talk with Thomas. Thomas, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Michael. What a lovely show. I've grown to love it. I did want to comment early and not wait to counterpunch regarding this whole concept of fairness and fair. You know, I keep thinking we're doing a rerun, Michael, of the Federalist Papers, where you run op-ed articles to see what you can get away with. If you're trying to write a new constitution, you float it a little bit left and a little right and a little down the center and see what the opinions are. And I have a feeling that this is just one more socialist push, extra constitution, to see what can I get away with. I found, in my own experience, to answer your question, I think capitalism is already fair and moral intrinsically, because you can't force someone under capitalism to buy something they don't think is at the right price. And on the other hand, how do you succeed without giving somebody else what they want? So I found it essentially and intrinsically moral and fair capitalism. Why are we trying to create a new fairness? I just feel like I'm in this Federalist Paper rerun, mm-hmm. or Run it by and see what we can get away with.
Well, I'm not certain I understand the Federalist Paper analogy, but I'm kind of confused about the whole notion of fairness myself, because I don't really know what is fair in the world, and probably haven't seen anything that is. Wouldn't know it if I saw it. But I got to thinking, you know, what if you're growing oranges and Aaron in here is growing apples and I'm not growing anything. Now, you know, you can always trade Aaron in here for some of your oranges and get some of his apples and vice versa. But what about me? I'm not growing anything. Well, where's the fairness in this for me?
Michael, I can't think of a more nebulous term than fair. Like law, it's a matter of geography. What side of the line are you on? On one side, if you don't impregnate your daughters by 12, because birth rate and mortality rate is so high, if you don't impregnate your daughters by 12, they hang you. On the other side of the line, if you even think of it, they execute you. Law, like fairness, is a matter of geography. And I don't think we can submit the Constitution to some external body's fairness decree. Well, what's fair in a Mormon home 200 years ago isn't fair in mine, and it's very strict in an Amish home. It's quite fair.
But wait a minute. Isn't the nature of negotiating a treaty an example of obligating yourself to somebody else's terms? I mean, a treaty, as I understand it, supersedes domestic law.
I don't see how that is but an extra constitutional dream. And essentially, I thought treaties were representing a nation and its interests with full candor and openness, as Adlai Stevenson did after being whipped by John Kennedy illegally, I thought, in Cuba. Now, there's a man who represented his country as a statesman through a difficult time. This is the way treaties should be formed, the way Adlai Stevenson defended us in the Cuban Missile Crisis, with facts and candor and
humility. Okay, then why are we negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement in secret?
Because if it were public, we would object. And this is why only part of what they ran by us, you know, when they transited from the Federalist Paper to the Constitution, they didn't know what we'd buy, Michael. And the op-ed articles, which is what the Federalist Papers were, it's what do you like? And so they ran that by people to see the opinions. And they're running this by to see what they can get away with.
But it's in secret. How are they running anything by? I've never heard. I don't hear much about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. There's little snippets kind of popping out here and there. WikiLeaks dumped the documents on the intellectual property chapter, which was really interesting, because that indicates that those who are negotiating this treaty are handing out control over various sectors of the intellectual property world.
Yes, extra-constitutionally, without a referendum of the American people or any of the peoples represented, Michael. This is abhorrent and against each country's interests, whom the people who should represent at a meeting of such. I wish you could just chisel the UN up, the whole building, and move it to wherever they're having meetings.
Well, so whose interests, then, are being watched over as they negotiate this treaty in secret?
Those that seek to destroy our Constitution and the lawful law of every land, thus that they can create their own world law and world government and do what's best for us. I believe they really believe that, Michael, and this is just another run. Now, you don't know who leaked this. For all you know, it's their advantage to leak it, to see what we think of it, like those op-ed articles. I don't think these things get out because WikiLeaks stumbled on it. I believe that this is their... They want us to know where they're there and see what we're going to
do. So you think the WikiLeaks dump was like politicians dump their stuff on Friday night, you know? So
absolutely could be. We'll never know the difference, and that's the problem with the free press not being free anymore, but in the hands of political manipulators that tell you the red wall is blue so long you believe it.
Well,
so I'm wary of leaks.
Do you think we got a good deal with NAFTA? Was the North American Free Trade Agreement a good deal for us?
I don't really think so. I think that if you invite people to the party, you should know how many are coming so you can plan accordingly. And we didn't do any of that. We just opened it, and guess who ran across it and which direction? So the truth is that we planned a party, didn't know how many would come, and didn't care. It was another way to get Democrat voters here and to dissolve the borders of the United States. They're just incrementally taking away our integrity and our veracity and wholeness as a country, Michael.
Well, given what you see on in the news today, it doesn't seem like we have any border left to dissolve.
That's true, and they want that to be official, and the UN, I guess that'd be Obama's next job. If he really lets go, I think he'll put his wife in the October surprise and just go another 8 years and we'll be done. I don't think Hillary is anything but his enemy.
Do you think the Trans-Pacific Trade or Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is going to be a good deal or a bad deal?
Absolutely a bad deal, Michael. It smells to high heaven. Your monologue suspicions are just crystal clear. I love your show. I can't believe it's called Food Something. You're just very insightful. Thank you.
All right, Thomas, thanks for the call. We've got Mary on the line next when we get back from this break. The folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, you are the guest today. The subject is the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, but it's government voting in secret to take care of us. Like it or no, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Well, folks, the leaders of our government and the leaders of our business are getting together in secret to obligate us to a free trade agreement called the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. What on earth is in this agreement? Who knows? It's a secret, right? Well, WikiLeaks has dumped some documents on some intellectual property provisions. Some interesting things in there, some potentially very interesting things, granting control of this and that, control of the internet, control of publishing, control of patent medicines, control of life. Actually, biological forms of life to various interests. So where was this going to take us? Is this going to take us into free trade? Will that free trade be fair trade? And further on down the line, how on earth is it going to impact our ability to feed ourselves? If you put us all in one big pot, Chinese and Americans and Guatemalans and Bruneians and all of us, and some of us are better able to grow food than others. We certainly have an ability to grow food because of our environment here. China has the ability to grow food because of their know-how. But what about the rest? Can they grow food to feed themselves? How's this all going to shake out? Is free trade fair trade? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. You are the guest today, our regularly scheduled guest who pitches himself as an expert on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is not here. So it's you and I left to figure out things for ourselves. And you know what? It gets right down to it. It's always that way, is it not? So let's go to Mary and see what Mary has to say. Mary, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for doing this show. This has been something that's been scaring me for a long time.
Well, wait. Why is it scaring you for a long time?
Because it smells of the executive order genre of doing things. I really like democracies because they allow for discussion. And a lot of minds, especially smart minds put together, can make decisions. And, you know, this bill was presented in January of this year to fast-track through Congress, and it didn't because the Democrats were critical of the erosion of their powers and the secrecy of the negotiations. So this is interesting to me. You know, we have... Now our government upset with leadership because of this fast-tracking, and then if the fast-tracking doesn't work, then it's just a flash of the pen and an executive order and a few dismissives. You can keep your doctor if you want to keep your doctor. How about you can eat the food you want to eat if you like the food you eat? That's not true.
So do you think this is going to have an impact on your ability to find food?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's already apparent with China. As China grows and our imports increase, we lose farmers in the United States and we lose clean food.
Okay, can you hold on for a minute, Mary? I'm going to put you on with Eileen in New York. Eileen, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for tuning in today. How are things in New York today?
Things are good in New York, but things are pretty awful in Iowa, and I'm here to tell you that this TPP is already happening.
Now, tell us what you see happening, Eileen.
Well, when I live in the wintertime in Fairfield, Iowa, where there are 10,000 people who meditate, and the whole community is very human resource oriented, very entrepreneurial, very international. It's like a little jewel in the middle of pigs on X-Lax. Anyway.
Did you say pigs on X-Lax?
I did.
You would be referring to confined animal feeding operations then, correct?
Oh, yes, I am. So let me tell you the deep what's happening. So basically, as you know, Mike Taylor is the czar of the FDA, and he's the former lawyer for Monsanto. Well, there was another guy 30 years ago that Mike was very close with in the government, and his name is Gerald Mandy, M-A-N-D-E. Now, I remembered him because in school we learned about gerrymander. So I always had his name, like, in my mind. Well, it turns out that gerrymand and Mike still work together. Now, Vilsack from Iowa, mind you, was the head of the Secretary of Agriculture. Well, I've met him. He's basically vacant, okay? The guy who's running the show is Gerald Mand, and he's the head of the USDA Food Safety, and this is who's running the show. So forget about Vilsack. But this is the show, what's going on here, and that is that it's already in motion where the United States wants to do this trade agreement and take over, basically, trade with the Asian Pacific. So, you've got Japan, you've got Taiwan, you've got Vietnam, you've got China. And so it turns out that that China, for example, is trying to get their own little partnerships going. They have not signed off on this Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's probably what's holding it up. But the thing is, they are actually in a sort of war physically with the United States in the China Seas, where the United States is aligned with Japan.
And the Philippines.
The Philippines, right. And so there's this war going on between China and the United States, but yet there's also a little war going on in this Trans-Pacific Partnership, where the United States wants China to come into the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but China's making their own deals. So now it turns out, and I'll get to the Iowa situation, now it turns out that China has purchased, you probably know this already, has purchased Smithfield, which is the largest hog producing place. So you can imagine Iowa, where Senator Grassley's relatives are in the hog producing business, and the clean air business is like down the drain, and they take these pigs on X-Lax and they actually spread them. They don't compost it. They spread this expletive, across all the land. Okay, now here I am in the middle of Fairfield, like the little jewel light of the nation, and there's like 80 permits now, waiting for approval to get more CAFOs going on. So it turns out that Iowa has been slated as the hog grain feed source of global economy. Now, why is this? Now, people don't understand is that the United States, that there's going to be a reset of currency, and the United States for many years now, since the 70s, has taken the position to own the world food supply, because the reset of currency is going to be based on resources. So the resources that we have is going to be the world food supply. So early on, when the Trademark Commission approved the owning of novel life forms, it happened with the help of these brother-father team called the Banner Brothers, Brian Banner, Don Banner, all the Banners. This guy, the Banner father, was the commissioner, the trademark commissioner in the early day. When I went to have a litigation with Monsanto, I went to their company, and the intellectual property owner was Brian Banner, or Don Banner, one of the Banner's son. So I realized, how can I win an intellectual property when this guy Banner's father is the trademark commissioner? So it happened at a time that when they got, then they won to get, you know, ownership of these, novel life forms, that was the key, the trademark. So when WikiLeaks,
so but hold on to the WikiLeaks, okay? I want to learn about the WikiLeaks. Now, I have lots of great guests on the food chain. I have Eileen in New York. I have Mary in Santa Cruz, California. And when we come back, we're also going to hear from Teresa. So we're going to have three fiery women on the food chain talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement and whether or not that agreement is going to make it easier for us to find food in our future, or whether somebody else is going to own that food, and what does that mean for us? You're invited to participate. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, right back. Well, folks, is it a good deal or a bad deal? Hard to say, really, because they've negotiated the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement in secret. And so we don't really know what's going on, but they did somehow allow some of the information to get away, and WikiLeaks dumped it on the table. And Eileen has an idea of why they dumped it on the table. Eileen, why did they dump it on the table?
It's very subtle, because no one that I know of has actually mentioned this. But Monsanto, but because the United States resources to own the world's food supply, so we'll get a big piece of the currency pie, even though initially it will go down, but we'll go up. Unfortunately, it's because we're trading sick food, you know, GMO food. The WikiLeaks document, why it was the intellectual properties, is because Monsanto needs to go to these individual countries and needs to go internationally so that their patents are recognized internationally. Like in Iraq, when Bremer left Iraq, they actually changed the intellectual property law that said that they could not plant anything but genetically engineered seeds, because, of course, that's going to be good for food security. You know, that's going to be good for blah, 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 blah. So that intellectual property law is all about Monsanto getting intellectual property rights.
Wow.
Other than what you said before.
Okay, can you hold on? We have Mary. Mary, are you still there?
I sure am, Michael. Okay. You know, it's simple. All you have to do is follow the money. It's always that. It comes down to that, and I completely agree with Eileen.
Okay, and then we're going to pick up Teresa. Teresa, are you there?
I am here.
Welcome to the food chain. Now, good deal or bad deal?
I think Mary and Eileen are making some excellent points about what a bad deal the TPP is, which has been called NAFTA on steroids. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think that that Eileen is summarizing it nicely, that the real purpose of the TPP isn't to promote trade. It's to destroy the ability of people to protect their own economies and feed themselves.
What you're saying, I hear you saying, is that it's designed to internationalize the food chain.
To internationalize, and also, I've read through some of these free trade agreements, and there's very little in there about trade. Most of it saying what countries can't do. You can't subsidize the kinds of things that you want to promote, maybe like local food. So the question that I have is, why should we have free trade between nations and not neighbors? If I wanted to trade some eggs for a bottle of wine that my neighbor makes, I can't do it without paying sales tax and declaring income tax and state income tax if I'm going to do it legally. And that may not prevent it on a very small scale, but it's certainly going to prevent me from doing it in a way where I could actually support myself.
Wow. So it's you see this as a way of taking control of who's going to take control?
Well, I disagree with Thomas in that I think this actually does go all the way back to the Constitution, that we should be able to have local economies and local currencies that we give tax preferences to, that we don't charge all those national taxes for self-defense, and that we are able to protect our own economies.
Well,
I agree completely. I agree completely, Teresa.
I love it.
You know, the issue is that we have been gaslighted into believing that a global economy is important for the good of the globe. But to be honest, I have memory, in spite of being gaslighted, that there was more health in having a variety of global economies, because when one fell apart, there were others that could come to the rescue. And as we move towards this global economy, global feeding system, global health, all of this, we now, when we crash, and we will, because it's a cycle, the pendulum always swings, you're healthy one minute, not the next, then what, a global collapse? We're asking for it.
Holy smokes, folks, this is the Food Chain. When I get back, we have a few minutes. I'm going to ask each of our guest experts one question. What do you fear most in the global Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement being negotiated in secret by those who run our world? Wow, we have Eileen in New York. We have Mary and Teresa in California. And we have you, 800-624-2665. I am so proud of my audience stepping to the fore and being the expert guest today. Wow, how cool is that? Well, we have a couple of minutes left, and holy smokes, Rory is calling in, and Rory is always outstanding in his field, so let's check in with Rory. Rory, we have three women, Eileen and Mary and Teresa, and they're not thinking this is such a good deal, but you being outstanding in your field, what do you think? Go ahead. Yeah,
thanks for taking my call, but, you know, I haven't heard a lot about the TPP, as they're calling it.
Well, it's a secret. You're not supposed to hear anything about it.
Right off the bat, I'm suspicious. You know, I do work in ag, strawberries specifically. But, you know, anything negotiated on my behalf in secret, what's that all about?
Well, there it is.
We have, see, and one of the ladies mentioned it. These are constitutional issues. The Constitution enumerates rights that already exist. They don't exist because of the Constitution. The Constitution enumerates, you know, natural law, God-given rights, however you want to put it. And we need to protect those. And one of the ladies mentioned, that there was going to be restrictions on local food trading built into the TPP. Is that, did I understand?
Well, it taxes it. No, I think that was Teresa. Teresa, did you say that?
Yes, that right now, of course, we pay taxes on everything that we trade. But they don't pay taxes when they trade things between nations, and I think that's exactly opposite what it should be.
Oh.
Interesting. They're very interesting. And the other thing is, we know, I've watched it, we've all seen it, agriculture has concentrated. You know, the efficiencies rule and the lowest possible price, but we also know that a lot of games have been played, and there's not enough time to go into it, and some of these things aren't the healthiest mechanisms for us. We should be allowed, unhindered, to do and farm however we like locally. There should be no laws negotiated in secret on our behalf that hinder the local food development that people want to have. I mean, we're supposed to be free. So
we're supposed to be free.
I will listen to more, but it's thanks for bringing it up. I know it's going on, but I haven't heard much of the details. So thank you, ladies, for...
All right. Thank you very much, Call Rory. Well, let's ask the gals. What is your greatest fear about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement? Mary, start with you.
Rory, go to WikiLeaks.org, TPPA environment, and you'll find a pretty good documentation on what this thing is and isn't. I think the allusion that Michael made at the very beginning of the show,
the piece, you know, about being gaslighted into, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your food that you eat and grow, you can keep that food. It's gaslighting. That is not what this is going to allow. It's going to squelch down local farming. It's going to squelch down American farming. And it's going to make us all eat fecal matter that's been radiated. I mean, I am serious. This is going to be a soy
okay.
diet.
Doesn't sound good to me. Eileen in New York, what's your greatest fear about the TPP?
Well, I don't have any fears, but I can tell you that a big grain elevator is being constructed near Fairfield that will ship 20 million bushels of genetically engineered grain on Warren Buffett's BNSF Railroad down through Texas to Mexico and to the Asia Pacific. And in light of the fact that Mexico has actually said that they have actually banned the plant.
There it comes. So I really quickly got to go to Teresa. Teresa, what's your greatest fear?
Right. Eileen had mentioned the coming devaluation of the dollar, and when that happens, which it will, we're not going to have any safety net and any local alternative.
There you go, folks. That's been the Food Chain Radio. Thank you so much to my experts, Eileen, Mary, and Teresa. And what a great audience I have. I'm so proud of you folks out there.